I don't wanna be the boy that runs in the back. I don't wanna be the kid that falls in the dark. All I really want to be is the guy that gets that girl.
Welcome to the AJ Steele Show. We discuss politics, sex, money, and everything in between. And now, here's your host, an immigrant, a self-made millionaire, an American, AJ Steele.
AJ Steele's sage advice. If you're unsure about which side to take in a war or in a global situation, always look to see who our media, big tech, and globalist politicians support. And then pick the opposite side. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us for another episode of the AJ Steele Show. A couple of weeks ago, as the war in Ukraine was just getting started, I posted a tweet that got a lot of attention and even many more questions. My tweet said, number one, Zelensky is in over his head. Number two, NATO and the US practically invited Putin to invade. Number three, the West is run by greedy, immoral reactionaries. Number four, nations who count on the US to protect them should consider a new strategy. Number five, the media lies about everything. Number six, the only winners here are China and Iran. And finally, number seven, I wrote, nothing is as it seems. I still stand 100% by what I wrote, because it was true back then, and now with each passing day, it's being proven to be true more and more. But many folks told me they don't understand everything I said, and they don't have anyone to ask about this war and why it's happening, why it's going on. And one of those people happens to be a friend of mine who is also a loyal listener of our show. And in many ways, he represents the average American, the silent majority. He's a hardworking middle-class guy, a family man, and he happens to be working in the energy industry. He is watching things go from bad to worse, and he wants to know more about geopolitics and what led to this war in the Ukraine. Because his life is so busy and he's always working, he doesn't have time to find out the real truth. And he doesn't trust our media, and I don't blame him. So I decided to do something that's never been done before. I invited him to our studio to ask me exactly what is going on. I think it worked out beautifully, and we had a lot of fun talking together. It was so much fun that I might start inviting other listeners of our show to come on from time to time and ask me questions about anything they need answered. Naturally, math and chemistry questions will be excluded. Now, speak of math and statistics, I was recently notified that our show has reached the number three position of podcasts in Latin America. We usually hit top 40 in the US and all over the world, but to hit number three and actually beat up guys like Mark Levin and Dan Bongino and Ben Shapiro, Dennis Prager, and even my personal favorite, Michael Savage, is quite an achievement and an honor for us. Don't forget, I finance my own show, and I have zero corporate contracts, and it's not from lack of them trying. It's just that I have my own money, and we are the only major podcaster in America that's completely independent. Unlike the other guys, I don't owe anybody a thing, and no one can tell me what to say because no one owns me. And it's going to stay that way. Now, I have a lot of friends that work for some of those hosts that we talked about, and they tell me that they read our tweets and they listen to our show, and from time to time, they actually steal some of our material. I guess I should be honored. And these hosts know exactly who they are. But to actually top them in the ratings is very humbling, and it gives me a great feeling that we're actually doing something meaningful to change our nation and the world. And I really want to thank you, my loyal listeners, from the bottom of my heart. Thank you so much, and I hope you keep subscribing and listening, and even more important, keep spreading the word about our show to all of your friends. That's the only way we can make a difference together. But as much as I like to talk about myself, we're not really here to talk about me. We're here to talk about this horrible war that's taking place in the Ukraine, a war that I think should have been avoided and could have been avoided if it wasn't for all the greed and ugly politics in that region and in the rest of the world. Now, I want to make a few points very clear from the beginning. Vladimir Putin is the aggressor here. He is the one killing Ukrainian citizens. It was his decision to attack, and I feel a very deep sympathy and sadness towards the innocent Ukrainians who are suffering and dying. But I also want to say, Putin is not the only one to blame here. What's happening there, all this suffering and dying, is because of the decisions and inactions of very selfish, greedy world leaders, including our own. And now that we got all that out of the way, I want to point out that nothing happens in a vacuum. Putin's decision to invade didn't just happen out of the blue. And the globalists of the US and Europe bear a huge responsibility for this calamity. Look, the Russians and the Ukrainians have been at it for over 1,000 years. And this latest war would not have started if the US wasn't meddling in Ukraine, which is one of the world's most corrupt, crooked nations. And it happens to be a playland of oligarchs and various other Western politicians like Joe Biden and Barack Obama and George Soros, to name a few. I think I told you in another episode that I'm friends with a couple of billionaires who are based out of Cyprus and the Isle of Man, and they're invested in that part of the world. And they talk to me very candidly, and they all tell me that Ukraine is the place where our politicians, our billionaires, they all come there to launder American tax money, they're there to get kickbacks, they're there to develop chemical and biological weapons, and worst of all, they're there to sexually abuse the poor local women who will do anything to survive. Disgusting. Now, like I said in my tweet, nothing is as it seems. And I hope today's show will shed some light on this sad war, which was caused by all the billionaires and their privately owned politicians. And they all sit safe in their mansions, far away from the battles. They sit there in their mansions, living the good life, enjoying every day, while there's millions of innocent civilians in Ukraine who are losing everything. As we speak, this is not right, but it's exactly what's happening. And everyone knows about this, and no one cares. Not our media, not our politicians, not the human rights organizations, not the churches and synagogues. Nobody truly cares. They're all pretending to help, but no one is doing anything to stop this carnage, and no one wants to admit that this could have been avoided. But as usual in this world, it's the rich and powerful playing chess with our lives. The people of Ukraine who are dying and losing their homes are the pawns in this ugly game. Look, I think today's show is going to shed a lot of light on questions and any misconceptions you might have about this war and why it got started. I have so much more to tell you, and before we do that, I'd like to thank you again for tuning in and for spreading the word about our program. I have a feeling you're really going to enjoy today's show. This is AJ Steele.
The AJ Steele Show. Think of your loudmouth best friend, hated by all the wise, because he tells it just like it is.
Hey, John, welcome to the AJ Steele Show. It's great to have you with us. Tell me a little bit about your life.
Well, thanks for having me here, AJ. I really appreciate the opportunity to have this conversation. I am a native Californian, grew up in North Bay. I have 5 kids, and I work in the utilities sector. I basically supply temporary utilities to construction sites and buildings and government facilities. And I've been divorced one time, and I have a great girlfriend right now, and we're just trying to get through our life. And I got a couple of questions I want to ask you to help me get through my life.
So let me ask you, before we get there, you're just a regular, average, hardworking American. Are you a conservative? Are you a liberal? Do you have any kind of serious political aspirations?
So I generally consider myself a little conservative, north of the middle. I don't care what you do in your bedroom, but I don't want you telling me what to do anywhere else in my life. That is my basic philosophy. And I just want to raise my kids, and I want to be able to go on vacation once in a while and enjoy my life.
That's what we all want. That's the American dream, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of our listeners have questions for me, and we decided to try this brand new format. And being that you're a very loyal listener of our show, we thought we should give you and some other of our listeners in the future a chance to interview me. It's a novel idea. Let's see if it works out.
Well, I really would like to talk about the war that's happening right now and what the reason is. And I don't want to talk about the 1,000 years before that. I want to know why it's happening right now.
I think that's a very good question. So we're not going to start 1,000 years ago, but there is a long time history between the Russians and the Ukrainians. They're two different people.
Mm-hmm.
So let's start at the 20th century, the early 20th century. The Russians have always felt that Ukraine was a part of their nation. And even though the Ukrainians will dispute this, the fact remains that the Ukraine has only been independent for very brief times during its history. The real trouble started in the 1930s when Stalin was taking over Russia. He started taking over right after Lenin died. And as we know, Lenin is one of the people that started the Bolshevik Revolution in 1917 and spread communism to the whole area. Now, Stalin, who was an evil totalitarian and a megalomaniac to boot, really did not like the Ukrainians because they would not subjugate. They did not want to become a part of the USSR. And much like today's Vladimir Putin, he wasn't going to put up with that. And as punishment, he basically caused a mass starvation that led to the deaths of anywhere from 3 to 6 million people. And till today, this horrible famine, this horrible tragedy is referred to as the Holodomor genocide. But the Ukrainians are no choir boys either. Because when Hitler took over, when Hitler became the leader of Germany and started taking over countries, many Ukrainians welcomed him. They volunteered to join Hitler's SS and his military, and in the process helped kill millions of Russians. But it wasn't only Russians. These Ukrainians were some of the most notorious murderers and abusers of Jewish people. They were known for their sadism and brutality, and they were involved in one of the worst massacres of all time. The Babi Yar massacre, where they killed over 30,000 Jewish men, women, and children in the span of a couple of days. So yes, both the Ukrainians and the Russians are very brutal. But the fact that the Ukrainians joined Hitler led to an unbelievable amount of hatred from the Russians towards them. In other words, none of this just started yesterday. Now, let's get to the meat and potatoes of what is happening right now. I'm assuming you want to hear all about Putin and Zelensky.
Right. I mean, I know that back when Obama was president, Russia invaded that little island and they took it. And that was okay. And then nothing happened. Why invade now, today, yesterday, last week?
Well, during Obama's term, they did invade a place called Crimea, which is an area that has a seaport that Russia uses for its military and for commercial shipping. So they did invade that. Obama talked about it a bit, but didn't do much to help Ukraine. Mm-hmm. Basically, they rolled over Ukraine, the Russians did, and that was it. And then they forgot about it. Then came President Trump. And interestingly, even though everybody said he's working with Russia, he's working with Putin, he's enabling them, he's been installed here as Putin's puppet, despite that fact, Putin didn't invade anyone during that time. There was no war whatsoever. Then comes Biden. Now, don't forget, Biden, in my opinion, is being run by the globalists. He's being run by a cabal. I don't think Biden runs anything in this world, okay? But the cabal has to do with Europeans, has to do with the West, some Americans. This cabal controls much of the world. They don't like Russia. Now, to be realistic, Russia is a major world power, specifically because it has nukes. And they're probably our second biggest enemy, right after China, which is by far our greatest enemy. Russia, in many ways, is a faded power. They still hold on to all of its nuclear weapons from the Cold War that we had with them. But realistically, they don't have a lot of industry. They have a declining population. And the only thing they have going for them is oil and gas. That's it, the energy sector. But for some reason, the Democrats and the Republicans and the globalists that control them don't like Russia. They treat them like they're our biggest enemy. And they're not. China is. And everybody knows that. But the reason they don't like Russia is because Russia is run by oligarchs and it's run by people like Putin, who is a strong man. And they don't really play games with the globalists. They're almost like a counterweight to the globalists. They have a lot of oil. They allow natural gas. And they sell it. And that's basically their economy. Now, Ukraine wasn't an independent nation until the USSR fell in the late 80s, early 90s. And once it fell, the old USSR installed a puppet there who eventually became Putin's puppet, which ran the Ukraine until 2014, when the West and the globalists fomented a revolution against Putin's man. And then they put in their own Western president puppet, a puppet that they could control now against Putin. Then in 2019, a comedian named Zelensky ran for president, and he was backed by a very rich oligarch. And lo and behold, he won the election by almost 75% of the vote. Putin was very unhappy about all of this because he felt it was a Western encroachment on his country. But he knew that there was a contract between him and the West saying that Ukraine will not become a member of NATO, which is the North Atlantic Treaty that the United States and Europe have together to protect from Russia. That they will not have any missiles or weapons with offensive capabilities in the Ukraine pointing at Russia. And the last part of this treaty, and I'm simplifying it, is that the Ukraine remains neutral, like a type of a buffer between NATO and Russia. So why did Putin all of a sudden go to war against Ukraine? Well, in the last year or so, ever since Biden took power, the Ukrainians, who are run by this guy Zelensky, who is a comedian, believe it or not, you know what his claim to fame is?
He ran an acting group or something.
He used to play the piano with his penis.
Oh.
That's his most famous act. Now, you know, I'm not going to get into that.
Talent, I guess.
This is not that kind of show, right? But that's what he's famous for. He used to play the piano with his penis, and supposedly it wasn't that bad. So this guy, Zelensky, is a puppet himself. He's a puppet of oligarchs who put him in power. Because how do you go from being a comedian one day to being the ruler of the second biggest nation in Europe? So he's a puppet of oligarchs, oil oligarchs. Now, so obviously Russia is run by these billionaires, and then the Ukraine is run by its own billionaires. And I think what I'm trying to explain to you most is there's no good sides here. They're both corrupt to the bone, just like us in a way, but a lot more in the open. Mm-hmm. Ukraine is our crook, and Putin is Russia's crook. Okay, so Biden and Zelensky were making a lot of noise about joining NATO, which for Putin was a red line. Not only that, but Biden is weak. Everybody knows he's weak. Look what's happening with Iran. Look what happened with Afghanistan, where we left almost $90 billion worth of military hardware.
I want my tax money back for that.
Keep wanting it. Yeah. Keep hoping for that. It's not going to happen. But Biden has been showing weakness all over the world, even when he was vice president. And the proof of that is that the last time Putin attacked was when Biden was vice president.
Right.
So the puppet president of Ukraine, who is basically run by the oligarchs in the U.S., started making a lot of noise with Biden and Kamala Harris about joining NATO. And Putin says, you know what? They're not joining NATO. We're going to take over. And then he started this horrible war. Now, Putin is not a good guy, don't get me wrong. But he does have some logic and reasonable claims to what he's doing. In other words, this is not just out of the blue. Another one of his claims is that there's parts of the Ukraine that have a large population of Russian-speaking, Russia-supportive majority living in it. And he's saying that he wants them to become a part of Russia or at least independent. That's what he's claiming. Hitler did the same thing with Czechoslovakia, so it's not a good excuse. But I guess what I'm trying to convey to you is that the Ukrainians are very nationalistic people. They love their nation and they hate the Russians. The Russians are very nationalistic people as well. They love Russia and they hate the Ukrainians. But really, this is all about oil and gas and the kickbacks that our corrupt politicians here in America and the West are getting out of it. That's what it's all about. And we didn't start the war. America didn't start the war. But the corruption and the weakness of our politicians gave Putin a green light and in many ways actually encouraged him to start this war.
You're listening to the AJ Steele Show. where no topic is off limits, no discussion too harsh, no truth more true. The AJ Steele Show. We tell it like it is.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't Trump have sanctions against Russia? And as soon as Biden came in, he lifted all those sanctions and things got sideways.
You know, you're 100% correct. And it's a very interesting point that you're bringing up. So, like I said, Putin and Russia, their main strength, besides grains and fertilizer, which they actually create a lot and they grow a lot of grains, is oil and gas. Mm-hmm. Now, Europe made deals to buy and rely on that oil and gas. And President Trump, who everybody said was a puppet of Putin, actually put sanctions on a pipeline called the Nord 2, which was to supply Europe, Western Europe mostly, with gas from Russia. Not only that, but Trump warned them that if they do start this line, they will rely on Putin so much that Putin will be able to do whatever he wants to do. He was quite prescient in that, wasn't he? The Germans wanted it because they wanted cheap gas from Putin, but Trump said this is going to cause a lot of trouble. The minute Biden comes in, and again, we all know that Biden has a lot of weird connections in Ukraine, in Russia. I don't even know if Biden is truly anti-Putin between us, okay? For all we know, they're doing this together, right? And they're screwing Ukraine because there's a lot of intrigue there. But the point I'm making is, you're right. Trump did not allow for the pipeline to go through and he fought it. And yet when Biden came in, the first thing he did is shut all the pipelines here in the USA, right? So he turned our nation from being an energy independent nation into an energy dependent nation. All of a sudden, we're depending on all of those other countries, including Russia. And then Biden gives his blessing to the Nord 2 pipeline from Russia to Germany. Right. That's not how you treat an enemy.
No. So then normal people like me see that also. I don't understand why this is okay for everybody.
John, there's a few things at play here. Number one, we're completely weak. We don't stand up for anything, and the world knows that we're weak. And nature abhors a vacuum.
Absolutely.
There's a vacuum in the world, a vacuum of leadership, because we have Joe Biden in charge. Number two, Joe Biden and much of his administration, as well as many Republicans, are compromised because they got back-end deals from Russia and the Ukraine. So they're not fair arbitrators of the truth here. They're all crooked. Number three, the leadership of America, Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, whoever is running the show, they're pushing for an old scheme dressed up as a new scheme called the Green New Deal. They don't care if our gas prices are expensive. They don't care if you and I can't fill up our trucks anymore. They don't care if our kids don't get a lot of food. You talked about a vacation earlier. They don't care if you go on a vacation. They want you to starve and they want to force you into buying green energy. And that means electric cars, solar, wind power, all the stuff that works marginally at best and is super expensive to boot. But some people stand to make a lot of money selling you that junk, okay? We don't need it, but they'll force you to buy it. And that's a part of the game. So that's why most people in America, meaning the government of America, they couldn't care less that your gas is what, $6 now? How much do you pay now?
I paid $5.90 at the pump today. And that was regular. It wasn't the most expensive around. It was is what I paid. And so to fill up my pickup truck cost me $142.
Wow.
Where it used to cost $90 and I was going crazy because it was too much.
Now, I know that you're a successful guy and you can afford it. But it doesn't just end with the gas. Don't forget, groceries will cost more. To move things around for your business will cost more. Every facet of your life will cost more, and your paycheck, it will never rise up proportionally, and that's why we have inflation. But again, this is not out of stupidity. This is by design. They want to squeeze the balls of the American worker.
Seems like a short game, not a long game. And I agree with you, AJ, that the Green New Deal doesn't work. If you spend any time taking a look at what it takes to build a solar panel or what it takes to build a wind turbine and what the waste is on both of those, I mean, you get upset about kids in these third world countries building tennis shoes for, you know, 5 cents a day. It's the same thing pulling lithium out of mines. And you think that, you know, those people who are doing that job in China and in those types of areas, they're broke too. And they're being, their health is being sacrificed just for this Green New Deal. Now, don't get me wrong. I love the idea of solar, and I do use solar. On my off-grid property, I have solar. On my RV, I have solar, and it works. But I just turned down a deal with a local solar company because the pay or the cost doesn't do the math out. It doesn't pay to do it in the long run. Although, if they keep raising energy prices and gas prices and diesel prices, it will eventually make it so you have to do that. And it's terrible.
And that right there is the whole deal. Both you and I used to have vinyl records. We used to listen to music that way in the old days. And then all of a sudden CDs came. And people didn't just start buying new releases of new artists and new music. What they did was buy new CD versions of all the old songs, all the old music that they had on those vinyl records. They replaced their entire collection. And that was a brilliant marketing plan. But you weren't forced to buy CDs. And those CDs didn't break the bank. So I'm asking you to think of those CDs and records. And now think about gas-powered engines and electric cars. It's the same game. It doesn't necessarily make sense.
No.
But it will make a lot of money to certain people.
Right.
Now we're going to have to take a short break. And we will be right back on the AJ Steele Show.
AJ Steele, not right, not left, just right.
Welcome back to the AJ Steele Show, John. You gave us a little lesson about solar energy, and I really appreciate that because you know that from the field, right?
Correct. I deal with solar arrays for trying to run large equipment. Battery technology is at the forefront of my business right now. We're using batteries to run cranes and the crane to recharge the battery so that the crane can run off the battery. It's so it's coming around, but the cost effectiveness is still, diesel is cheaper until now, where it's going to be, you know, $8 a gallon, and it's going to make it so we have to do these things. But in order to have any type of production, we're still going to be reliant on diesel. And it's just going to run the cost up for every major project, everybody's home project, everything that's going to happen. It's the pricing is going to go through the roof. And as you know, when you do a project at your house, you're budgeting this X number. And then in 6 months, when you save up the money, now your prices have doubled. It's canceling that kind of work.
John, you hit the nail on its head. The elites don't care. They'll do what they have to do to succeed. They'll fight wars, but we're the ones that are going to be spilling our blood. They'll get rich while all of us are on the way to the poorhouse. This is the whole essence of this Green New Deal. This is what it's all about.
So, AJ, what is the end game here? How is this all going to work out?
Look, I'm not Nostradamus, so I can't tell you for sure. But I can tell you what I think is happening, and I can tell you what I think needs to happen. Putin is going to win this war one way or another. There's no way Putin can afford not to win. The thing is this, Putin is a bastard. He is a vicious man, he is a determined man, and he will do whatever it takes to win. Now on the other side, we have this Zelensky guy who is a puppet, like I told you.
Right.
He's running his mouth. Like a bad comedian or like somebody who's high on meth. I don't know. He's making Putin very angry.
He's poking the lion.
He's poking the bear, we should say.
Yeah, or the
Russian
bear, yeah.
Right? The Russian bear.
Right.
There is no good ending for the Ukraine in any of this. Putin will go as far as nukes. And I feel that we've cornered Putin to the point that we're almost there. And God forbid, he feels so pressured and so cornered that he starts using those nukes. Now, this is what should happen if people were pragmatic and did the right thing. The Ukraine would say, okay, Putin, we are not going to join NATO. Okay, Putin, we're going to stay neutral. Okay, Putin, you can have those two little areas there that are close to Russia where you have Russian citizens. It's not an ideal solution. It's an ugly world out there. But sometimes you have to compromise because another outcome would be just too horrific. And it could involve you, me, our kids, and our nation.
Top Gun saying it's better to be conservative, pull back, and fight another day.
I couldn't have said it any better, John, which leads us to your next question, something that you told me about when you emailed me about politicians.
Yeah, we all see that politicians are doing things that if we did them, we would go to jail. Insider trading, it's okay for them. It's not okay for us. Obviously, the Clinton regime, so many red flags go up there. I don't understand why anyone doesn't have an independent investigation. Also, even the Biden family, when they got him on film saying that you either get rid of that prosecutor or I'm taking my $1 billion and leaving, I don't know why that's not done. You saw the smoking gun. It's over. You're out of here. So I want to know what the solution is to fixing those kinds of problems.
You know, that's a very big question. And I think there's no real solution currently. I think the only thing that will save us is a revolution. And the reason I say that is my belief that this nation has become rotten to its core. There are so many government bodies and other bodies involved in this mess, that no one hears the truth anymore. It starts with the schools where our kids are being taught to hate America and to hate white people, to hate their own parents, for heaven's sake, to hate what they stand for. Then you turn the TV on or the computer. All day you hear lies and lies. We don't have a media in America anymore. We have government-controlled operatives, mouthpieces, fake news. We don't have any real reporters anymore. Now, we can go a step further. The judiciary. Everybody said, oh, Trump got these three guys in the Supreme Court. Oh, he changed the courts. Everybody's on the take in America. We've become just like Russia and Ukraine. You know, we keep talking about them as being so corrupt morally and financially, but we're just as corrupt. I think if there's anything that President Trump did for us is open our eyes. It's possible it's always been that way, but he opened our eyes to how corrupt everything is. I don't trust the Supreme Court. I don't trust Republicans.
No.
There's very few people I still trust. So in some ways, we have to sweep this whole mess out and start anew. But the question is, you're an average American. I'm an average American. Do we have the moral fortitude to do it? Because it's not going to be pretty.
AJ, I don't even think it's the moral fortitude. I think we're too damn comfortable. And nobody's going to push back if they're going to lose their power every night and they're going to not be able to go to the grocery store and buy their turkey pastrami. I don't think that until that type of thing happens, that anybody be willing to give up their lifestyle to... And for me, I'm not physically able to, go out and fight the front lines, but I will drag the bullets up there to give to the guys to go do the job. But it just isn't going to happen.
Revolutions start when people are starving.
Yeah.
We're not there yet. And I'm not advocating for any kind of violent revolution. And I know that you're not either.
No.
But I'm telling you that you're right. We are fat. We're comfortable. We have it too good. We forgot what it's like not to have anything, and we're so afraid to lose what little we have. And until we reach that point, until we cross that bridge, you're not going to see any change. It's going to get tougher and tougher for all of us, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And I wish I could lead people to see the light. And that's what we try to do in this show. You know, one of my favorite sayings is, oh God, thy sea is so great, and my boat is so small. And that's how I feel. But a lot of people, they'd rather put their head in the sand. And maybe that's the right way. Maybe it's the comfortable way. But I don't see any kind of change coming anytime soon. And that's very sad. Now, time is just flying by. And we're going to have to take our next break. So we will be right back on the AJ Steele Show. Don't go anywhere.
The AJ Steele Show. Think of your loudmouth best friend, hated by all the wives, because he tells it just like it is.
Welcome back to the AJ Steele Show, John. We're having such a great discussion, and I was thinking during the break about all the things I told you, and I don't want to leave Americans hopeless. And personally, I don't want to lose my faith. So I was trying to formulate in my mind some kind of a plan, some kind of a call to action that can put our nation on the right track again and still be short of that revolution that you and I spoke about earlier. But where do we start? Well, the first thing we have to do is talk to our kids. We need to teach them that sometimes it's okay to stand against the wind. It's okay to bend too, but don't ever break. And it's okay not to be like everyone else. Think for yourself. Follow your heart. Do the right thing, even if the whole world tells you that you're wrong. Don't let groupthink define who you are. Be an individual. Be proud to be your own person. That's what being an American is all about. I also think we could run for local elections, get involved in politics, run for school boards, city councils, things like that. Start acting locally and change things globally. I know I'm paraphrasing a left-wing slogan, but it's true. We have to start somewhere. And additionally, another important thing we can do is actually talk to fellow Americans. And not just in our little echo chambers. Not just two people who agree with each other and just complain all day. Talk to people who don't agree with you. Talk to people who can be influenced because they're intelligent enough to understand, but they just don't know. I think it's very important to change people's minds using logic, morality, and a clear heart.
I agree. And in fact, I have seen some movement. I have a very eclectic group of friends, and they, some liberal, some conservative, some right-wing crazy, all over the board. And I have had these conversations with liberals where it is my job to mostly stir the pot and ask logical questions and see if I can get a logical answer. And 2 years ago, that was almost impossible. It was more fun just to see them get riled up. Now, when I ask those questions of the same people, I've got three or four friends who are starting to think about what they're doing, how they voted, what they need to do from now on to vote. And I'm seeing a change in them because they're seeing the ridiculousness of this administration. And they're going, wait a minute, I'm kind of embarrassed that I voted for this. And they're making a little more conservative thoughts. And I think that it's going to be grassroots to get there, but I think that people are going to make the change.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. And I know you live in the San Francisco Bay Area where I would say 80% of the people are liberals. So the fact that you're noticing or sensing any kind of movement is a positive. I think it's very hard to support Joe Biden or Obama or any liberals when you're starving. Things were better under Trump. Right. Gas here in the Bay Area was $3. Now it's $6. Things were calmer. Things were better. We weren't on the cusp of a third world war. We weren't worried about our entire nation starving and people not being able to pay the rent or their utilities or putting gas in their tanks so they can get to work. And we weren't worried about getting fired because we didn't take a stupid vaccine for an infection that was mild. So yes, everyone in the liberal camp hated Trump on a personal level. But most of the stuff that he did worked. And most of the stuff that Biden is doing isn't working. It's not just not working. It's failing miserably. And I'm glad people are realizing it now.
I actually posted something on Facebook asking someone to tell me what Biden has done. And I've gotten spend money, spend more money, spend more money. And then I asked them what they think Trump did. And I get all kinds of secured the border. Lower the gas prices, you know, stop the child trafficking, or not stopped it, but at least put a dent in it.
Yep.
And those are positive type things. And the liberals are, in my opinion, starting to see that, hey, I mean, you're never going to stop the crazy liberals. They're going to believe what they're going to believe, even if it's not even remotely close to reality.
So, well, you know what I say to that? From your mouth to God's ears, John.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I don't got credits for that. So. Okay, so I got one more question that I'm curious, because I don't have the time to look. Last time I looked, China was moving ships towards Taiwan. They were doing flyovers in Taiwanese airspace. Are they going to slowly move in there while everybody's distracted with Russia? I mean, what's your sense?
My sense is this. China is the new boss in this world. America is a fading giant.
Yeah.
Yes, we still have a military. Yes, we still have an economy, a large economy that is fading. In some ways, we're running on fumes. And they know that. And the way we acted in Afghanistan, the deal that we're about to give Iran, the way we're acting with Putin. The Chinese are very smart people, and they play the long game. You talked about a short game earlier. The Chinese play the long game.
Yeah.
They want Taiwan, and they will take Taiwan. And the reason they will is because there's no opposition. We have sold our souls to China. Now, by saying we, you and I also, to some extent, we all shop at Amazon. We all buy Chinese crap. We like cheap stuff. So we're to blame as well. But really, the Chinese government has infiltrated our schools, our media, our social media, and the most important, our politicians. So yes, they will take Taiwan. I don't know if it's today or tomorrow. We don't know when it's going to happen. But who's going to stop them? Joe Biden? Kamala Harris?
And Trump's strength was, in my opinion, the reason why. And even if his strength was perceived or real, or maybe they just thought he was crazy, so they stayed away from these kinds of conflicts. And I don't think that's the case anymore, because Sleepy Joe can barely stay awake long enough to make those kinds of strength moves.
John, you told me that you played football, and the guys that score are not the guys that just give it 50%. The guys that score are always moving. They're the ones that give you 110%.
Right.
We are not even at 50% with this president. And the Chinese are running full steam. And they're going to run full steam all over us. That's what's going to happen. And that's what's happening. They're eating our lunch. Now, I can get crazy and start telling you about COVID and my belief that China, along with the globalists, released that to destroy Trump. Because don't forget, Trump was hitting the Chinese pretty hard. There were a lot of trade issues. China was losing money. We were regaining our respect. And, you know, they took him out. That's the real truth. And, you know, people will say that it's a conspiracy theory. It's a lie. It's not true. That's what happened. They conspired together, the globalists and the Chinese and the media and our universities and the politicians, including the Republicans,
right,
to take the man out. He was too good for us and not good for their pocketbooks. And that's what happened. And look at us now.
Sad.
It is.
Because I grew up in the same era that you did. And people didn't like America because we were so strong. And I don't think that that's the perception in the world anymore. And it's so frustrating.
Someone just tweeted me the other day that when Biden became president, the whole world just started loving America again. They were telling me it's just a love fest now between the world and Biden and America. And then they sent me all these graphs and polls and charts. You know, when you run the world, you don't want to be liked.
No.
You want to be respected. And we're not respected. America has become a joke. Biden is senile. Kamala Harris has the IQ of
a box.
I think you're a lot kinder than I am. She's not very bright.
No.
And then we have a bunch of people running our government who are ideologues. But they're not practical. They're not pragmatic.
Right.
They don't look at real life issues. They don't know the real world. It's like teachers that never worked in a field, they can't really teach you how to work. And that's the problem. Our country is basically run by liberal arts professors.
And that's a sad state on its own.
Yeah. John, it's been a great pleasure having you here on the AJ Steele Show. It's kind of fun to be put on the spot and to have the tables turned, because I'm usually the one interviewing people. And today I felt like I was the one being interviewed. And I only hope that our audience enjoyed it as much as I did. Do you have a final question for us?
I would really like to see a plan to make it, I hate to use Trump's words, but make America great again. Because we fall behind in school and economics and manufacturing. And unfortunately, and it's my kids also, they have such a skewed view of the world that I just kind of shake my head. Wait until you pay your own mortgage and you're going to see that the old crazy man wasn't just talking out of his backside.
Look, we can sit here and complain all day, and there's a lot to complain about, I agree. And we can be dark and we can be negative. But I still see a light at the end of the tunnel, and I'll tell you why. Because I came to this nation as a poor immigrant who had nothing. I live in a trailer park. I came with zero. And America was very kind to me. And Americans in general were very wonderful and kind and open to me. And they had this spirit that I saw in their eyes. And I was amazed because I thought, these folks, this nation is the greatest nation in the world. And I haven't forgotten what I saw in their eyes. And I still see that in the eyes of Americans today. The light hasn't been extinguished completely. There's still hope. And I see it in your eyes. I see it in my children's eyes. And I see it in the eyes of everyday Americans. There's some kind of a defiance and independence that I haven't seen in any other nation on earth. And that's what we need to harness. That's the kind of spirit that will lift us above the darkness. That, the belief in God, the belief in our nation, our constitution, and maybe most important, the love of family, the love of our fellow man, and that spirit of freedom. And those are the things that will keep us standing tall. And I think that's what's going to make us succeed in the future. We just have to find that mojo. And people like you and me who speak out, speak our minds, stand up for what's right, we will push this thing over the finish line. We will save this nation, God willing.
AJ, I want to thank you for having me on your show and being a friend that I can actually bounce these crazy ideas off of so I can get a perceptive of what's going on in the world.
John, the pleasure was all ours. Thank you very much for coming down to our studio, and thank you for spending time with the AJ Steele Show.
All I really want to be is a guy that gets the girl. All I really want to be. All I really want to be is a guy that gets the girl.
The AJ Steele Show. Copyrighted 2022.